Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and this is Boo Sheet. You know, like Boo Sheet for a ghost? I can't handle my booze. I guess I'm a skeleton. That's humorous. Should we squash it right now? Are you gored? Well, we're going to have skelly fun and go batty. It's fantastic. Watch your blind manners. But if you've got it, haunt it. That's a mummy rap. Joining us today, the usual squad ghouls, including Kevin, Eyeball Candy Jaeger.
Oh, I'll take that one. That's fine.
Kimberly, our trick or treat yourself game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
I love a treat.
And with us is a returning guest, Hair, Hands on a Hard Body, Catherine If You Can, On the Town, Candide, A Chorus Line, Scotland PA, Phantom, Quantico, and so much more. Let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Jay Armstrong Johnson.
Y'all ready for this?
That is the first time I've joined in that dance. It was accidental, and I apologize.
It was great, though. This is a podcast, so it's not a visual situation, but you should have seen the dance, everyone.
Thanks for joining us. We missed you.
Oh, I've missed you too. I'm going to be the trick to Kimberly's treat.
Yay!
Before we get into anything, what are you drinking?
Well, I wish I was drinking alcohol, but I have a performance via Zoom for Mark Shaman and Quarantunes later, but I am drinking my favorite Waterloo flavor, which is watermelon.
Yes!
I will be getting a tiny bit drunk right before I sing, but I can't do it too soon because it's still 3 hours before I have to sing a really hard song.
Totally fair.
Right. Yeah.
They're actually having me sing "Goodbye" from "Catch Me If You Can," which which I never actually sung on stage, and it's a hard one. So and they asked me to do it last night at like 7 p.m. They're like, "So tomorrow night, could you?" But it was Mark Shaman that asked, so I was not going to say no.
Yeah, right.
I'm busy.
Yeah, on my like Zoom sound check, like about an hour ago, Martin Short just hopped on for a second just to say hey. It was the weirdest.
Oh my gosh.
Kevin, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Malbec that I had in the fridge. It's amazing.
Beautiful.
I love Malbec.
Mm. Kimberly?
Cold Reds. I also am not drinking alcohol because I do not have a performance later, but I do have a mountain of laundry that I promised my husband I would help him with. And so I have iced coffee and water.
Beautiful.
To keep me going to clean my home.
Right. I have Brooklyn Oktoberfest.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah. Oh,
I like that bottle.
It's
looks
cute,
like
right?
A picnic blanket.
Yeah.
That is cute.
But welcome. We were talking before we started. The last time, at least Kevin and I saw you or talked with you was after Scotland, PA.
Yeah.
Right.
They told me about it.
We've talked about it on this podcast before. I think we actually talked about it in our year in review from 2019. We loved it so much.
So much fun.
You guys were the nicest after that show. You made me feel very good about myself that night.
You were fantastic. Yeah, we got a kick. I don't think I'd ever, I know you're funny, like as a human being, but I don't know if I've ever seen you like play that specific of like a comic relief character on stage with so much, like groundedness. It felt like, yes, you were part of the farce of it all, but like it was really funny and good, and you were delightful.
Thanks, yeah. Brian. What's crazy is that I heard about Scotland, PA mostly because Lonnie Price was directing it, and I was like, oh, I want to work with Lonnie again. So I actually emailed Lonnie to be like, hey, please see me for this show. I'd really like to be considered for the role of Mac. It's, you know, it's the Scottish play, like it would be super fun. Yeah. And so they saw me for the role of Mac, and they were like, that's not quite fitting. And then at my audition, they gave me sides for Banco. And so I initially went in for Mac, and then I read the sides for Banco, and I didn't want Banco. I was like, I wanted the lead so bad. And so, but then I ended up, so I was fully relaxed reading for Banco because I didn't care. And then I guess my delivery of it was like, oh, there he is. And so it was a gift given to me from Lonnie Price because I wanted the lead and he gave me the supporting character. And then it was my favorite role I've ever had in my career.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Comes across that way because you look like you were having a blast. And everyone looked like they were having a blast, but you especially, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Mitnick wrote a really fantastic character. I mean, there wasn't really much that changed in my character stuff from, like, workshops to performance. It was all the other characters around me. So, like, Banco was really a solid written character. So I just got to put my fun, like, spin on it.
Awesome. That's so much
Brian
fun.
Brian and Kevin, weren't you there the day that someone had a new lyric sheet?
Yeah,
yes.
Had a new lyrics for his like I Want song, I think.
Totally.
And they said, they were like, just so everyone knows, he's going to be like reading it off a piece of paper, but he's a good actor, so like you won't be able to tell, but like just deal with it because it's a preview.
Yeah, I mean, those two lead actors, Ryan McCartan and Taylor Imon Jones, are mega heroes because their stuff was changing every single day throughout our whole like 4 or 5 week preview process. And like, we're talking like full lyric changes to full songs. I mean, going out there with paper, I mean, you're like nightmare actor scenario. They had to live it for an entire 4 week preview process. So kudos to them because they're two of the more talented humans I've ever worked with.
You did a really great job. There was like literally one split second where like, you saw the streak of panic and you looked at the paper, but like you found it. Like, so you wouldn't be able to tell if you were just listening, but
yeah,
like right. Knowing what to look for, it was just like, oh, there was this one moment of panic, but he found it and kept going.
Yeah. And even Kevin and I were saying that he so seamlessly worked that piece of paper into the scene that like only until he had that second of panic, did we realize that this was the scene that they were talking about in the pre-show speech. Like, It was kind of incredible.
Well, yeah. The way they were able to implement all like new lyrics into props was unbelievable because he has a piece of paper that he like doodles his ideas on. And so it's technically a prop in the show that they like wrote lyrics on. And then when Taylor had like lyric changes, I think she had like a clipboard because she's like one of the managers at the restaurant.
Sure.
So she had lyrics on her clipboard. So they were able to kind of implement them pretty smoothly.
Well, we really, really hope to see some iteration of it in the future because it was a delight.
Me too. We actually, when quarantine happened, I think 2 or 3 months into quarantine, we did a Zoom reading of it. The writers went back to work. They wrote a couple of new songs. They changed the narratives a bit. And so that they really do want there to be another iteration of it. I think the set that Ana Luisa's created, her drama, our Drama Desk nominated set, is actually living in some theater space, I think in St. Paul. So they're saving things and they're working on the script. Cool. So fingers crossed that it, you know, has another life.
Well, we're Guansters over here. That's what we call ourselves.
Adam Guan. I love that man.
But let's talk about what you're up to now a little bit. Can you talk to us a little bit about your October 29th drop?
Yeah. So back five years ago now, I did a 54 Below concert that I made into a live album. And when we dropped the album, it was in October, and I'm a Halloween stan. And so I decided to make my October album release party a Halloween party. So all of my backup singers in my band all got dressed in Halloween costumes. Me, I was Winifred Sanderson. My backup singers were Mary and Sarah and Billy Butcherson. So we just did a Hocus Pocus themed CD release party. And since we had the costumes and the wigs, we thought, well, let's make this a yearly thing. So the next year it turned into more of like a Halloween centric cabaret and less like Jay's doing his album and Halloween costumes weirdness. And then the year after that, we did it at Le Poisson Rouge. So we took the show from 54 Below downtown to the West Village of Le Poisson Rouge so that we could add more staging and more choreography. And we made it more of like a Halloween extravaganza, like big show. And then we did it again at Le Poisson Rouge. And our fifth anniversary, I've been trying to get Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, to come on board as our presenter and our benefactor. I love working with them. I do Broadway Bears almost every year, except for this year. I do Broadway Backwards with them a lot. They produce really incredible things for really great causes. And it always feels warm and fuzzy to work on a Broadway Cares project, both artistically and in a building of a community and hearts and openness and love and all of that. So I love Broadway Cares so much. And I thought, since my Halloween show was like getting it some attention in the industry as like Broadway's go-to Halloween party, I really wanted them to come on board and for us to have an annual show that is directly benefiting Broadway Cares. So in January, they decided to come on board, which is really great because we've been trying for 2 years to get them to come on board. And then COVID punched us in the face and I lost all hope. Until one night I got a little broad-waisted and started dreaming. And I called my co-producer Danny Marin of Con Limon Productions and I said, what if we did a visual album this year and put it on the internet as a live stream? So in phase 4 of New York reopening, they are allowing for television and film production. And so for the last month and a half, really for the last like 4 or 5 months, we've been planning this for a while, but last month we recorded 13 music videos, all COVID compliant. We're all wearing masks on set, except for the leading players who were lip syncing to their tracks. Everyone recorded their own music, from our musicians to our vocalists. Everyone recorded from home. Wow. And so we are in the process of editing together a film. It's like Beyonce's Lemonade meets Disney villains, Halloween spooktacular. And it's going to be pretty epic.
and you have some like outrageous guests too.
Outrageous.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, just to name a few, Eva Noblezada, 2-time Tony nominee, Will Swenson, Tony nominee, freaking Robin Herder, Tony nominee.
Yeah.
We also have Todrick Hall, who's been a buddy of mine since I was a teenager, and he's producing his own video from LA. We've got Bob the Drag Queen, who came in and shot a video for us, as well as Alexis Michelle of RuPaul's Drag Race fame. So it's a crazy roster. Everyone that we asked to come on board to be a part of this ridiculous event, most people just said yes. I think a lot of us have been sitting stagnant and dormant, and you're going to be blown away by the artistry from the hair to the makeup to the costumes to the camera work to the editing to the music design and engineering. I mean, it's I am sitting here humbled and truly excited to share this ridiculousness with the world.
That's so cool. How do people get it?
So if you go to, I believe it's broadwaycares.org/spellonyou or spell, I should know this. Why?
We're going to link to it on Twitter and everything. So like, just check the details in this podcast episode.
Essentially we are embedding the Broadway Cares YouTube channel onto our own website that we've created.
Cool.
Blackflamecandle.net. Ooh. Very hocus pocus focused. And so
focus.
So that's where you'll be able to start watching, the stream. We launch it on October 29th, which I think is what, that's a Thursday. And then it'll live online for a few days. We're still figuring out negotiations with SAG-AFTRA about how long it'll actually stay online, but we know it'll be online at least through Halloween. So you've got 48 hours to watch the darn thing and hopefully longer.
So those of you who are listening to this the day it comes out, it'll be out in 2 days.
Two days from now.
Yeah. However, we're recording this a little before those 2 days.
Yes.
As we do.
I'm very excited because I think I'm the only one of the three of us who has been to the show.
Yeah, I've never been to one of your shows.
Oh, you were there last year.
And it was so much fun.
Oh my God.
So excited.
I'm excited for you to see Robin Herder's piece translate from stage to film.
That is what I am most excited for. I think that is why she is nominated for a Tony, because somebody else was in that room with me and was just like, this woman.
She's unbelievable.
My best friend Emily was your music director.
Right.
And so I like watched that and I went up to her afterwards like, who is that? Tell me everything. And now her and I will text each other when she's like doing cooking shows on Instagram. And like Robin is our secret best friend.
Oh, she's everyone's secret best friend. She has this magnetic energy. No one dislikes Robin Herder. There's just no way you can. She's one of the more unbelievable talents on this planet. I remember watching her go on for Roxy Hart in Chicago. And when I tell you that it was like the best female performance on a Broadway stage I've ever seen, I'm not over exaggerating. I saw Sutton and Millie, you guys, and I'm telling you. she's unreal. I'm really excited. I'm excited for the world to see this. Yeah. Right after her Tony nom, too. And she actually text messaged me that this morning. She was like, the fact that the world is going to see this after that is really exciting.
Look, that's very cool.
It was a song that, as it was happening live, like felt like a music video. So I feel like it was probably going to translate so fun. Yeah.
Do you know what else feels like a music video? Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
Kevin's Corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner, where today's Kevin's Corner is called It's Nothing But a J Thing, Baby. So the way this is going to work is it's actually a quiz for Brian and Kimberly.
Okay.
Where the answers are all just things that Jay has performed in professionally. And you have 5 seconds after I give a clue, which is me trying to give a clue, not about what it is, but what it sounds like. So if you can't get it right in 5 seconds, Jay has a chance to guess. If Jay ends up having more points than you guys, Jay wins.
Does this Jay get to play?
Hey, Jay.
Okay. Brian, here's the first one. I used to yell this to my little brother or to my older brother a lot when we would play tag.
On the town.
No, Jay, do you have an answer?
Catch me if you can.
That's right.
Oh, duh. Oh.
We were just talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye. Goodbye. You used to say goodbye. Duh, that's so stupid.
Kimberly.
Sure.
If I cover myself in sugar and then bake myself, you could say that I just what? Became what?
Covered yourself in sugar and then baked yourself?
Yes, then I've become what?
Candied?
That's correct.
What?
Candide.
Candide.
Oh. You got it by accident.
I was like, the only baking process that is to candy something. Thank you, Kevin, for knowing my strengths.
You're welcome. Brian, next question. I feel like this sounds like a James Taylor song.
That's it? Is it? I'm going to go with On the Town again.
His hands on a hard body.
Oh, no.
What?
That was my second guess.
It's Fire and Air.
Oh, wow.
You think Fire and Rain, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Fire, okay, Kimberly.
Fire and Air.
Oh, there's
a nice poster. That's a beautiful poster.
It's a beautiful poster, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kimberly. If a bartender fell in love with one of his concoction makers, what would he call it? His what?
Concoction makers?
If a bartender fell in love with one of his liquids, what would he say to it? You're my blank blank.
You're my liquid love.
Jay?
You're my darling, Grenadine.
There it is.
Oh.
Show is now called Liquid Love.
We're tied 2-2, right?
Oh,
no.
Wow.
No, I only have, I don't think I got any of them.
So oh, it's well. Two
Brian said On the Town twice.
It's 2-1. Jay's winning.
I hope so.
Brian.
Oh, Kimberly and I are playing together against Jay.
Team. Correct.
Oh, I didn't understand.
Okay.
I
don't know.
One of those Mario Party games where it's like one person against the other people.
Oh, okay. Can I help her or no? It's her turn when.
Correct. Her turn.
Okay, okay.
Team, but all still right. An individual process.
Correct.
Like baseball.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like, sure. But it's like, is it Brian's turn again?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Brian, if the boys who started a industrial revolution had actually stopped and put their eyes to what they were selling. Librarians would say, oh, I'm so proud of those blank blank.
Those reading boys. Oh, it's those, Brian's turn.
Those book boys?
No, Jay, do you know?
Will you repeat the question?
So if the boys who started a industrial revolution put their eyes to what they're trying to sell, librarians would walk by and say, oh, I'm so proud of those blank blank.
I have zero clue.
The answer is Newsies Reading.
I don't think of Industrial Revolution when I think about Newsies.
Well, let me do something.
Unions?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
The Industrial Revolution was alive and well when Newsies happened.
I meant, like, whatever. I don't
whatever.
Know.
Whatever.
Look at these Newsies reading.
Kimberly.
Yeah.
This is one of the words that they say in that really fun gay song in Evita where they're just listing all the things that are important about her, like, looking pretty.
Hair.
There it is.
Kimberly, I feel like you're in, like, a child's, like, car seat. Like, what is this chair?
This is my husband's gaming chair.
A gaming chair. That is fancy.
It's like a car seat. It
does. I'm glad you're safe.
Wrapped in for this conversation.
Brian.
Sure.
We have yearly holiday brunch with his co-star from this Broadway show.
Phantom of the Opera?
There it is.
Who do you have?
They weren't in it together.
Megan.
It just worked.
Oh, okay.
Oh, great.
Candide is another answer.
That is true.
No, but we already did that one.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And then the final question goes to Kimberly.
Me.
Where I will probably find my next boyfriend.
On the town.
You know what? I'm going to give you a half point because that's a great answer, but it's not what I thought. Jay, do you know what I thought?
No, I was going to say on the town. I'm trying to like go through my resume right now and I'm having a hard time.
A chorus line?
Correct.
Really? Two great answers.
And it looks like with those answers that Brian and Kimberly just eked out to make it through Kevin's Corner. But we're going to say that Jay wins.
Yay! Oh, man.
That was fun.
Do you?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Do you have any, I know we talked about your show, but growing up, did you have any Halloween traditions that your family did or that you continue on that you have now aside from your show?
Do you know what's really weird is that I went to like the circus when I think I was like 3 or 4 years old with my father, and I got like weirdly obsessed with clowns. And so since that time, I was a clown for like 5 or 6 years in a row, like from like age 5 to like age 11, I was a clown for Halloween. Of course, when I got to age 11, I was like a bloody scary clown, but I was like still a clown nonetheless. So that was a tradition that like I took on myself at a very young age. What'd you say?
Bloody clown? Like, was it always the same makeup?
It kind of was. It was very like Ronald McDonald-esque.
Ooh.
You know, like very like child's like birthday party creepy clown. But yeah, I had a weird thing about clowns. Loved them.
When you would go trick-or-treating, what is like the ultimate yes when you get that candy from somebody's house?
Like it was like one of like the king size Snickers bars. Like the rich part of town, we would go to those.
Sure.
Yeah, we would go to those houses, and they gave out full-on candy bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that.
Totally.
I can see the house in my mind's eye.
Wait, Kevin and Kimberly.
The house we know is the good house.
I know, totally. What were your two?
Favorite candy?
Yeah, what was it like, gotcha? candy bar when you went to houses.
Like a Reese's that's both of them, not just an individual Reese's.
Yeah, that's my two. When you get the two pack,
full size Kit Kats.
Mm.
I was going to say, like, my favorite thing ever is the Reese's that are like shaped like a holiday thing.
Oh, sure.
So, like, the pumpkins are like epic.
Did that exist when we were kids, though?
I don't remember that as kids.
I don't either. But the egg and the pumpkin are the best.
The egg
and the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree is good.
Oh, yeah, the Christmas tree, too.
Also good. I have a question about your Halloween candy. Because I said this to someone once, and it was not the case for everyone. Like, you got to eat, like, one or two that night, and then they all went in a bucket, and then you got a piece of candy with your lunch every day for, like, 6 months.
Oh, this is very...
We had a version of that. It wasn't as, like, nailed down as Gail seemed to have it, but, like, we definitely had, like, a version of that. Like, we could eat, like, a certain amount that night, and then all of our candy... I have to ask Erica, but either they all went into a bucket or a separate bucket. I don't remember, but we definitely, like, had rationing of it. We couldn't just, like, go crazy on it.
See, my family... Johnson's popcorn, like, caramel corn bucket.
Those like, plastic... We had plastic jack-o'-lanterns.
Oh, no, see, we had, like... I was the third of four in my family, so when we finished going trick-or-treating... All four of us would sit in a giant circle and dump everything we had in front of us. And then for like at least 2 hours, there were negotiations of what you were trading to like get the ultimate loot for you. And like everyone knew like Kevin loves chocolate peanut butter, so we can get his hard candy because he hates that. So let's see what we can get out of it. Like, so it was like, everyone was like, we would do that. And then my parents had this rule that once we were done with our like thing, that my parents just sat and laughed and watched us do this. And once we were done, my parents got to go and take two things out of everybody's bucket. And that was what they were eating that night. Oh, and then they were like, y'all can do whatever you want now. But it was like, we like guarded it with our lives. It was in our specific bucket. You like took it to your bed and like put it under your bed. But like, we were very protective.
There are four of you, that makes sense. Just me and my sister were like, this is our candy.
Damn.
I remember the sorting process being very intense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, Tootsie Rolls. I hated Tootsie Rolls. I always got so many Tootsie Rolls. I don't know why I don't enjoy the flavor of Tootsie Rolls or something like that. I always got too many.
Did you guys all have the house in your neighborhood that, like, opened their garage and, like, had, like candied apples and, like...
No.
We were
Florida's a weird place, dude.
Well, yeah, and we were. I remember being scared as a kid, and like, you don't get candy that is not in individual wrappers. You accept no candied apples. You accept no food that's not like in like it was. It was a really weird thing.
I knew all of my neighbors, so I trusted them to give me food.
Sure.
That was that was weird too, because we were like, the school says we shouldn't take the candy apples. My mom was like, she's the 87-year-old woman who lives next door. Like,
yeah, she's a witch. That's the reason why you shouldn't.
Hello? And my mom's like, be nice to her. Eat her candy apple. I'm like, I don't even like candy apples.
Like, I feel like I will be the house costume. Like, candy apples. That's like, I made these treats myself. They took a long time.
I'm eating.
You can send them to me. I'll eat them all.
Okay, yeah, anytime.
Well, here's the question. I'm assuming that Kimberly and I, having grown up in New Jersey, had a little bit more trouble on Halloween and with costumes because it was cold versus Texas and Florida. So, like, Kimberly, did you ever plan your costume base and you'd have to wear, like, layers? Or would you just get upset when your mom made you put on a jacket? And then I want to talk about a warm Halloween.
I think... it was both. So I think when you're little, you don't understand that it's going to be cold and you don't really know how cold it's going to be in New Jersey until like the day of Halloween. And it's like, it's too cold to wear your Jasmine costume. And so here, Kimberly, put this white hooded sweatshirt underneath your Jasmine costume, which includes a like skin toned belly portion. you're really good in kindergarten this year. Sure. So that is my main scar tissue of Halloween. Is that
I get it. Here. Yeah, no one wants to see a Ninja Turtle with a jacket on.
Yeah, and so then, yes, I think I would plan something that I could put on top of whatever was cold. And then it got to a point in high school where I was just like, we are only going outside for like 45 minutes, mother, I will be fine.
Sure, sure. So let's talk about warm weather or warm-ish weather, Texas and Florida. Like,
was the world your oyster?
Yeah, or did you miss the, like, watching movies and things like that? Did you wish you had a fall more like the fall you saw in movies?
I guess I didn't really understand. I mean, it was just, like, me living my life. Halloween was my favorite. Like, who gives a damn if it doesn't look like Hocus Pocus? At least I'm getting the candy. I'm being this clown. I'm living my dreams. So I guess I didn't really think too intensely about it. When I moved to New York my freshman year of college, it slapped me across the face because I thought I would be like slutty Tinker Boy. I was Tinkerbell as a dude, and I like wore nothing but like little booty short shorts and like a tie, and it was the coldest. So it was a rude awakening moving to the Northeast when I'd been so used to flouncing around Texas.
I just found the picture of me in my hoodie, but I feel like you can't see it.
Yeah, that's tough.
However, my sister is a clown.
You'll have to post it on Instagram. If you have it already.
Instagram.
Well, Jay, did you have problems with your clown makeup sweating it off? Was that a problem in Texas?
Yeah, I feel like it was totally a problem because we didn't buy like Ben Nye. You know what I mean? Like we were buying like the Walmart like plastic container. Fudge. Oh my God. And my dad did it. You know, we weren't looking to like buy the most expensive things. So yeah, that should sweat off real easy.
That's actually what I was going to say is like my sister, has two kids, a 6-year-old and 8-year-old, and the 8-year-old said he doesn't want to dress up for Halloween this year because all he does is just walk around sweating, asking people for candy, and he feels pathetic. And my sister was like, how do I fix this? He's only 8. We're not supposed to be doing this yet. And I was like, I get it, though, because like, you had to be like smart in Florida about what costume you wore, because like, if you bundled up or had too much on, it just was too hot and muggy sometimes.
Yeah,
like miserable. A lot of times people are like there were like a year or two where I was like a bag of jelly beans and I just wear shorts and an undershirt. Shirts and an undershirt, and then you just wear like a trash bag, but you fill it with like small, like blown up like colored balloons and your bag of jelly beans. So then like your legs are exposed, your arms are exposed. So it's like, it's almost like you're wearing like a lady's bathing suit with like a dress part. So like it's like nice and cool. It's like you definitely think about that. But I did the same thing when I first moved to New York City. I went with somebody as of Mice and Men. I was Lenny, and my friend who was much smaller was George. And I wore just overalls with no shirt, and then I had like a rabbit that I had like drawn red marker on, so I'd like killed the rabbit, George. And like we went to a bar, and I literally like it was like a busy night, so we had to stand outside the bar for a bit before we got in. And I was like, this is terrible. Like what are you doing?
But then there are some Halloweens I've had in New York where it's like hot. Like you really never know what you're gonna get. Like one Halloween it snowed. One Halloween it was literally 85 degrees, so like you really never know what you're gonna get. You can't really plan for it here at the Northeast.
So when I was very little, I lived in Cleveland, Ohio. So there were a few years that I remember where like we did have cold Halloweens, and one year it like torrentially snowed, and it was the year I was being the Phantom of the Opera, and I was so upset that I had this whole costume and I couldn't wear it. And I basically, my dad had taken like a golf, like a hockey basement, like goalie mask and like cut it so that it was Phantom.
Nice.
And then he was just like, so basically I was just wearing a giant coat and I just had that mask on. And I complained until they let me have the cape part of the costume over my winter coat.
Hey, you got to make do with what you got.
You do what you got to do.
Brian, did you have one? A coat Halloween?
I mean, all of my coat. Like, once I went as Dracula.
For boys, it's harder because you can't, like, layer a turtleneck under your princess dress.
Yeah, once I went, I mean, like, as I got older, I definitely wore, like, hoodies or long sleeves under things. But I think I was the Riddler one year. My mom maybe put on my Charlotte Hornets jacket. Like, you know, the starter jacket stuff, so. I think that's a big one there. Because I was like in this onesie being the Riddler. Yeah, one year, part of my costume was a reversible coat, so I can go back to houses twice. I had two masks and a reversible
coat. You were one of those assholes.
Just one year. It didn't go that well, and it got really cold, so I bailed. Like, okay. The thing is, it's not even about getting double the candy. It's about doing half the work, so you don't have to spend all night out. You just go to half the houses.
That's true. When did you last trick-or-treat? Like, how old were you when you stopped?
I don't know.
When I got my driver's license, I probably stopped, because then I was probably just going to, like, Halloween house parties and saying, no! Candy, yeah. Let's drink beer. You know?
I think I stopped at, like, 13 or so. Maybe 14. I think I stopped early.
You're also tall, so I feel like people probably were like, you're a teenager, get out of here.
Yeah, it kicked in quick. Plus, like, around that age was when, like, friends of mine were starting to just drive golf carts through our neighborhood. So, like, we would all just get on the golf cart and, like, run mayhem through, like, the gated community we lived in.
I miss those days. I, too, had a golf cart. It was a periwinkle golf cart. We lived right on the golf course at Lake Country Country Club. I mean, it was so southern and so ridiculous and so very white. But my sister drove the golf cart into the pond, and there it went. So, idiot.
Well, on that note, should we play a game, Kimberly?
Yes.
Wow. I have a game, but I think maybe we need an extra person to play it.
Oh, we do?
Good.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to bring in Emily Marshall.
Hello. I'm surprised.
I was not expecting this, Emily Marshall.
Hi. I just came to say hello.
Yeah, to play a game.
And play a game.
Oh, goodness. I was going to ask you what... Okay.
You look adorable, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I met my childhood...
I haven't been my friend in a while, so I would like her to join.
I met my childhood bedroom.
That's fun.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a map of all the places I've been.
And so cute.
Well, and just think of the places you'll go, Emily Marshall.
Yeah.
Someday, you know?
Emily, we already all swooned over Robin Herder, and I told you about how we text each other about her Instagrams.
I was literally just watching hers about Hudson, because he was dancing in her shoes. Oh. And then he fell over, and I just watched it like 3 times. I'm not gonna lie, like literally right before this. Yeah.
I think that kid's a genius, and he might take over the world.
I think so too. I think he can do anything, and he's also adorable.
Yeah, he plays hockey. He dances like no one's watching. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, which I mean, like I'm not surprised. It's Robin's kid. True. She can do anything. So.
Also, Clyde as well. Clyde is also one of my favorite humans on the face of the planet. So the fact that the two of those people made a little human together. It's really an embarrassment of riches.
Embarrassment to all the other little humans. Sorry, kids.
What's our game today, Kimberly?
Thank you for joining us. Today we have a game called Spooky Scary Musical.
Ooh.
And I have... Okay. A deck full of just the show cards from Lights of Broadway show cards. And then I also have a list of like common movie monsters. And so a la Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, you will get a chance to choose a musical from the deck and also a movie monster. And tell me how you would make a Halloween adaptation of that show.
Cool.
Well, that's not anything like what we've done.
I thought maybe you'd be good at it.
I don't know.
Please. Will you explain the rules one more time? I was slightly not listening.
Sure. You'll pick a musical from the show card deck and a monster from my list of monsters. And then you have to combine them to make a Halloween version of that show.
Oh, bring it on. This is going to be fun.
Kevin, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay. You just have to say when, because you can't reach through the screen and grab a card.
I was wondering how that worked.
Okay, say when.
When.
Okay.
My Fair Lady.
Perfect.
Yes.
And then a number 1 through 5.
4.
four. 1, 2, 3. Werewolves.
Okay.
Musical, My Fair Lady and Werewolves.
Okay. So, Eliza, the whole musical is the same until Eliza sings about how she could have danced all night. And then she's like, you know what? I am going to dance all night. And so she goes outside and it's a full moon. And that's when the old lady who's always helping her turns into this giant, scary ass werewolf. And then she's like fighting her and they have this like giant fight and she has to like fight like a lady though. So she's like being like courteous in her fight. But she like takes her giant hat and just like beats the hell out of her and then goes back into the house and like, and the, she's like literally like kind of bloodied and like beaten up. And then like that, like heinous doctor is like, Eliza, where are my slippers? And she's like, ooh, and that's the end of it.
So Eliza beats the werewolf. Wow. That's a badass bitch.
Yeah.
But like very ladylike. While she's doing it.
Very late.
Yeah.
Like she apologizes and like she like warns her that of like it's coming before she hits her. Like it's this whole thing.
But then there's one moment where she loses her shit. And she like goes back into her Cockney accent, but then right. He comes out and he's like, Liza.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. Okay, Brian.
Sure.
Ready? Say when.
When?
La Cage aux Folles.
And?
A number 1 through 4.
Oh, right. What did Kevin say again? I forget.
He said 4, but I just cut out. Now there's only 4 choices. So a number 1 through 4.
Oh, I'm still going to go with 3.
With 3. Witches.
Oh. La Cage aux Folles and witches.
Yes.
I think that... okay, so I think that it's pretty much the same, but with witches. No, I do think that, so he's afraid to bring his fiance to the house. I can go 2 ways with this. Okay, so he's afraid to bring his fiance to the house to meet the family, George and Albin, totally terrified, you know, and we go through the same, you know, empathizing emotions as an audience member. But what we don't really know is that along with being like conservatives, her parents, they're also witches. So we,
conservative witches?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Well, no, she disguises the fact that they're witches with the fact that they're conservatives. That's her story, why she doesn't want to meet them. And they come over and it's just like, they're like witches. Not even like the witches where they have to like pull off their skins up. They just like come in as like full Halloween costume, like Sanderson's sister witches. And they actually all get to, I've removed all drama. They all get together really well. And everyone's happy. And it teaches you that, like, it doesn't matter who you are. You know, you can break bread and everything will be great. You know, some pentagrams, some drag shows, and you're in. You're in for a good night.
Just don't eat the candied apples.
If I could count on my hands how many times I've seen pentagrams in drag shows.
Hey, would you like a turn?
I would love a turn.
Okay, say when. It
just explains the West Village.
When?
On your feet.
Oh, get on your feet.
And then a number 1 through 3.
1.
Zombies.
I saw On Your Feet literally once, and I was drunk. I was broad wasted.
Perfect.
Did you get on your feet?
By the end of it, you know I was. Yeah. I mean, that's glorious stuff on music.
As you know, here on Broadway, so we are pro mega mixes.
And so here, what I do remember very distinctly is in the middle of the show, there's this huge soundscape where Gloria gets into a car wreck, and so this is the moment. It's the moment. The car wreck happens and like zombie apocalypse. So for the rest of the show, for no fucking reason whatsoever, every single person on stage is a zombie. And they do the rest of the show and no one even pays attention to the fact that there are zombies. But damn, it's brilliant.
And then the Megamix is everyone as a zombie.
Correct. Correct.
Ooh, yeah. Zombie Megamix.
Can you imagine if they kept the book the exact same, but they just, every once in a while, a zombie comes on stage, and as she continues to speak, she just, like, murders a zombie.
And don't acknowledge it.
Don't even acknowledge it. Nope. It's the subtext.
I imagine, what's it called? The conga song is just like they, someone moves too quickly and like an arm pops off and it's still like holding onto their shoulder.
I was going to say, like, or Emily, can you imagine like music directing this show and like just like blood splattering into the.
You're like, we got to keep going.
Hazard Bay.
Oh my God.
All right, Emily, would you like a turn?
Yeah, I'm scared because I'm not good at musicals, but yes.
I know.
Say neither, when. Clearly.
I'll pick you a good one.
When? I even stuttered at that.
I'll pick you a good one. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, great. I love, I've known Kimberly for a long time. She knows that I don't know all the musicals.
I just casually didn't give you war paint, so you are welcome.
Thank you. We I don't know. We would have gotten a direction.
I would have loved to hear what Emily thought war paint was about, though.
I know it's two people in it.
Great.
Perfect. Primarily.
Well, now you have Oklahoma and then a number one or two.
Two.
Alien robots.
Oh.
How might that come into Oklahoma?
It's the revival.
Well, that killed Brian.
I think the whole thing should take place with alien robots. Yeah, it should just be like a futuristic, like very futuristic. Maybe it takes place on the moon too.
Okay.
And there's an Oklahoma on the moon.
Yes. New Oklahoma, the new territory.
The new Oklahoma that's taking place on the moon.
Territory is a state.
Yeah, they're like founding this new moon, Oklahoma. And I think they should try and, I think they should try and stick with as much of the original as they can, with kind of not delving too far into the fact that it's all taking place on the moon with alien robots.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oklahoma moon.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma, where there's no wave, there's no wind rolling down the plains.
Waving wheat does not smell.
Only slight lyrical changes, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's really all you need.
Yeah,
the sort of what a beautiful dark side.
all the moon references though.
Right. Yeah.
It just becomes moon puns.
Just moon fun.
I mean, the whole I would love that.
I don't even know why I brought the moon into it, but the moon's there.
Liked
it
a little.
Part of it.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone say when for me, and then I'll round us out.
When?
Okay. A Little Night Music.
Ooh.
And vampires.
Ooh. Oh.
Uh-huh.
That's perfect.
So it is revealed during a weekend in the country. What kind of home they are going to.
Amazing. Amazing.
And it is just like a vampire romp the rest of the time. The Miller's son is just a combination of how she turns all of her lovers into vampires.
Oh.
Wait, Kimberly, this could actually work.
Like, I actually do
this
love
is
this.
Legit.
Send in the Clowns is like they are fighting because he does not want to turn. But she is like queen vampire. She's like 300 years old. She has been traveling the theatrical circuit her whole life. The little girl is a la, what is it called?
Dance with Vampires?
Interview?
Interview with the Vampires. Yeah, like Kirsten Dunst.
What's her name, Claudia?
Claudia,
yeah.
So the daughter is also like 300 years old. They were both turned. And then the mother, like the grandmother, not a vampire, very adamant that she did not want to turn. And so that is why she is sort of reminiscing about her youth.
This is so good.
And then the clowns is like their fight about whether or not to turn. And then at the end, she sends in her clowns, which are all of her baby vampires. And they come in and they turn him into a vampire.
Amazing.
Okay, write this now.
Actually, that sounds great. Mostly for the costuming.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, imagine the awesome vampires.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Done. Okay.
Great. Good game.
Spooky, scary musical.
Yes.
Catherine Zeta-Jones can totally be in the vampire version, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, with her vamp haircut.
Yeah, she's definitely a vampire.
Absolutely. So, Emily, we talked a little bit about the drop on the 29th, but from your perspective as the music director on this piece, like, what could people expect? Like, what was it like to kind of, what is it like putting it together?
Well, we've been working on it for a little while, as in a few months, multiple months. It was like the beginning of summer when we were first.
Yeah,
beginning of summer when we were first chatting about it. At all. And I think what you should expect is really not to have any idea what to expect because like there's every style of music. There's little like tweaks within the songs that you don't see coming or that you don't expect this villain to be singing the song for, but then it makes sense why they do. And in our wonderful Halloween world anyways. That we have created. And it's filled with so much music and so many fun storylines. Like the show itself has always been so fun, but this just has a whole new flair to it, I think, because we had both more elements at our disposal and less in a lot of ways, because it's not the same as performing for an audience live, of course, but also like musically we could do so many more fun things with like the pre-recording and at home and everything, so we got to like tweak and play more than we got to necessarily when we had like a day of rehearsal before and then go do a show. So right. So it's come out really cool and we're very happy with
awesome
all the ends of it, and especially musically, because that's the thing I've been working on. I know.
You guys, the music department on this thing, head by Emily Marshall and Will Van Dyke, is the work that they've done is unbelievable. You can't believe that like each instrumentalist recorded their own parts from home, first of all, and each backup vocalist recorded their parts from home, and most of our lead vocalists recorded their parts from home. I think we got some studio time for like maybe five or six of our leads, but when you actually hear this, you're going to be like, how did they socially distance record this thing? How do they take all of these parts recording on all of these different devices and turn it into like this genius sound? I mean, it really is super
exciting. It really was like a puzzle putting it all together too, because you'll That's get awesome. Like this element and like in different orders and like, okay, and not necessarily know how it's all going to come together, but then that's what's so cool about it too, is like watching and listening and hearing it all actually get there.
That's awesome. Well, that comes out October 29th, so Thursday, October 29th. You can check that out on blackflamecandle.net and benefiting Broadway Equity Fights AIDS. Why can't I think of... Thank you. Probably cares. Equity Fights AIDS. Wow, my brain. That brings us to the end of our episode. Jay, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Emily, thanks for joining us. Again, that was blackflamecandle.net, where you can check that out on October 29th. It's also, that link is also going to be in this description of the episode, so you can check it out there. Of course, you can follow Jay, or any of us on, social media to get more information about where you can find it. Us at Broadwasted on all social media. You can search for Jay Armstrong Johnson on those as well. What's your actual handle?
JAY_A_Johnson.
Right.
Really annoying.
So follow him there. Emily, where can people find you and your work?
You can find me on Instagram too. I'm E. Marshall, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, _23.
Cool. But yeah, check that out. Again, you can find us where you can get podcasts. That's Spotify, Stitcher, Apple podcasts. There we go. Rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
Thank you.
We end every episode with a quote. I'm pulling one out from our first year. Black cat, what do you think of that? Scat.
What is that from?
That's from my elementary school music class.
Oh. How does it go if you were to sing it?
Black cat, what do you think of that? Scat. It's a classic.
Wait, your teacher had a bunch of children screaming scat at her?
Yes.
Then did you scat?
Yeah. But thank you all so much for. There's more song to that. I think I don't remember it, but I remember that.
It's a very short song.
Yeah, very short. That's my 16 bar cut. Anytime I go, my 8 bar cut whenever I go audition. But thank you all for joining us. We always raise a glass. So happy Halloween. Congratulations on something that awesome is going to drop. And everybody check it out again. October 29th, blackflamecandle.net.
It will live on the internet for a few days after that. So if you can't make it on the 29th, you can see it on the 30th or the 31st and possibly beyond that as well.
Cheers.
Cheers.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.